Well, let's turn over to Hebrews 11:6. We've been sharing on this, and today's message is no wavering. And we were kind of just sharing our heart here, but let's take a look at Hebrews 11:6 in the King James and then the Passion Translation. And then I want to look at the Message Translation. Also, I think this will help us. Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please him. For he that cometh to God must believe." Say, must believe. "That he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Glory to God. And this word seek means to search out, to demand, or to seek after. Now let's look at the Passion Translation. And it says, "And without faith living within us," it's got to be living in you, "it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real," and what else? "And that he does what? He rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him." He rewards who? The ones that are in faith. All through Jesus' ministry, when people were healed, he said, "Daughter, servant, you've been healed because of what? Thy faith, your faith." Now let's look at the Message Translation in verse 6. And this is good also. It says, I'll read this here. It says, "It is impossible to please God apart from faith." And why? "Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him." Oh boy, I like that. He cares enough to respond to those that seek him. Oh boy, I'm going to read that again. It says, "It's impossible to please God apart from faith." And why? It says, "Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that" what? "He exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him." Oh boy. Oh my goodness. You've got to believe that he cares enough to respond. You know, you think about this. How could we believe that we receive if it was not God's will for us to be well? He cares for us. So since God says it's his will for us to be well, then we can be sure or assured that he's ready to give healing when we do what? We ask. See, this is what, when I saw that in the Message Translation, it says that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. I immediately started thinking about when virtue flowed out of him, and they said they brought all the sick and the maimed to him from cities round about. And everyone that touched him was healed. So he cared enough to do what? Respond to those that sought him. This is what happened with the woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus, and she went and said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." And so she knew that if she touched him, he cared enough to respond. She said, "If I just touch him, he's going to give me something. He's going to heal my body." Hallelujah. So Jesus is what? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Glory to God. So when we talk about this, let's look at Mark 11:24 in the King James. I'm just, before I jump over here to James chapter 1. But Mark 11:24 in the King James says, therefore, what? I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you do what you receive when you pray. Well, it would be hard for me to believe to receive when I pray if I wasn't 100% convinced that it was God's will to respond to me when I came and I approached him. I have to be absolutely convinced that he desires to respond to me. He cares enough. That's what the message. He cares enough to respond when I approach him. How am I approaching him? In faith, in prayer. So when I approach him, he responds. How is he? In the word, this is Jesus speaking. He said, believe you receive when you pray, and you shall have it. Glory to God. So therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I like this in the Passion Translation. It says, this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe whatever for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. Glory to God. Now, these translations, I like the Wuest, W-U-E-S-T. It says, be believing that you what? Have received them, and they shall be yours. Be believing. That's what the woman with the, she said, if she continued to say, if I touch, she kept saying. This says, be believing that you've received them. That means when opposition comes, oh no, I believe I received. Be believing that you've received what you desire. And it what? And it'll be yours. Now let's jump over to James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. And I believe you're going to see something here. There's a connection between believing that God is a giver and our ability to believe what? That we receive is established in this passage. So there's a connection between believing that God is a giver and my position and my ability to believe that I receive. There's a connection here, and you're going to see this. So the King James, we're going to look at the King James only here, and it says, if any of you do what? Lack wisdom, let him ask, and this word ask again is this word demand or require, or seek, you could say. Let him ask of God that does what? That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And I like this. And it shall be what? Given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in what? In faith, nothing wavering. No wavering. And then it goes on. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That goes back to what we talked about. It's not possible to please God without faith. So this says here, if you're not operating in faith, let not that man think he's going to receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Say no wavering. No wavering. Now, I want to start, and I want to go back to verse 7, because we're going to look at this topic of no wavering, and we're going to look back, I'm going to say backwards, or looking from verse 7 to verse 6 to verse 5. We're going to go and look in that order. So let's go back to verse 7. It says, for let not that man what? Think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So here, just starting in verse 7, we can see that we can be disqualified from receiving anything from the Lord. This is saying here, let not that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. So this is letting us know we can position ourselves to not receive something. That's helpful, isn't it? So if you read something and said, well, boy, what would that be? What would put me in that position to not receive, this says here, anything of the Lord? Well, if we're looking backwards, let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 now begins to tell us why we position ourselves not to receive. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You see the progression here. But let him ask in faith, let him ask in confidence, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read that so many times, and I'm going to add a little bit to it, but we'll just say this. People who waver will not receive their healing by faith. If we're going to receive healing, if we're going to receive financial blessing, if we're going to receive wisdom, it has to be done how? By faith, nothing wavering. Whatever it is you're receiving from God. So what does it mean to waver? Now, I have thought through, and maybe it's because I've heard other people teach it, but sometimes it's good to go in and just look at it a little more closely. Look up some of the words in the Greek. Look at it and see not what you think it means or not what others have taught. I've heard people say wavering means you're vacillating between two opinions. Everybody ever hear that? Yeah, most of us have. That's not what it means. It does not mean I'm like Morris the cat. Bah, bah, bah. I'm going back and forth. I'm vacillating between do I eat, don't I eat? Does God heal, doesn't he heal? No, that's not what wavering means. It says this Greek word, diakrino, means to separate. I'm looking this right up in the Greek, so I'm giving you the English of it. It means to separate thoroughly. It means to separate oneself in a hostile spirit. It means to withdraw from, to oppose, to contend with, to dispute, to doubt. That's not vacillating between two opinions. That is not what that means. It means to hesitate, to stagger. So when you are contending or differing with something, what are you doing? You are arguing with it. This is what James is saying. And you are wavering. See, to me, That puts a different meaning on it. Because when you are not in faith, you are contending with something. I don't believe that. And there could be a lot of reasons why. But the bottom line is you are not convinced of something. So now that we know what wavering means, what could you oppose or differ with that would cause you to not receive healing from God? What is it that you differ with? So it says here, we must what? Ask in faith, nothing wavering. But now let's look at this verse. What does it mean to be driven? What does it say here? It says, for he that wavereth, he that opposes, he that contends with this, is what? Is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed. Yeah. So when you waver, it means what we said. It means to differ or contend with something. It does not mean to go back and forth between two opinions. You're differing with something. Here's what you need to look at. Sometimes, this is an interesting thing. Sometimes it says, for he that wavereth is what? Like a wave that's tossed, or wind, like driven with the wind and tossed. Here's what this actually means. The individual who asks for wisdom, because we're talking about healing, but this you can use healing here. The individual who asks for wisdom does not believe that God will give it when they believe that they won't receive from God, and what happens? They don't receive. Therefore, they will continue to be driven and tossed. Not between two opinions, but they're going to be driven and tossed by their circumstance. Because God is saying, if you need wisdom, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For what does it say? For he that wavereth, who contends, who doesn't believe, is what? Like a wave that is being what? Driven by the wind and tossed. So let me ask a question. What does the wind represent? Your circumstance. Sickness, disease. What is it doing? It's pushing you. It's tossing you in life. Lack of finances, what is it doing? It's pushing you to not come to God for wisdom. So what is it doing? The circumstance, the wind is like the circumstance. Take the wave is nothing but the result of the wind. But the wind is doing what? It's driving and tossing. And so for us, many are being driven and tossed by their sickness and disease. And this is the result of what? Knowing God is willing to heal us, but failing to believe that God will give them healing upon approaching. Because this is what we said before. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder. He cares enough to respond when we do what? Approach. I'm in a tough spot here, Lord, but I'm coming in faith. I believe I receive wisdom to know what to do in this turbulent situation. I believe I receive wisdom to know. Because you care enough. You care for me. And I'm hurting. I need to know what to do. I'm being driven by the doctors. I'm being driven by bill collectors. I'm being driven by my kids that are acting up. I'm being driven, and I need to know what to do. You can't at that point, if you're contending and you're disputing, I'm like, well, I don't believe God cares, then you will not receive, and you will be continuing to be driven by the circumstance. Does everybody understand that? That's what that means. But we need to know that God loves you and he's willing to give you what? The wisdom to know how to pay your bills, what to do. All the stuff that's going on in society, all the issues that are going on that are doing what? Pushing and dry. That's what the devil does. He comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to do what? Give you life and life more abundantly. So we need to be absolutely settled that when I come and ask him for wisdom, and you know, we back that up. What does it say? Count it all joy when you fall into what? Various trials and issues. I'm faced with all of this. I'm counting it all joy. But then what does it say? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, works endurance. But let endurance have its perfect work so that you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know what that means? My bills are paid. My body's healthy. My marriage is healthy. My kids are healthy. But you've got to let patience, endurance, have its perfect work. But when you don't know what to do, see, that's what he's saying here. When you're faced with all of this, let patience have its perfect work. You say, well, that's good. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. But then what? James says, if you lack wisdom, see, so that means there, if any of you lack wisdom, he didn't say everybody lacks wisdom. He said, but if you do, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Does everybody get that? Everybody seeing this? So to me, this gives me hope that when I'm faced with something, the first thing we ought to be doing is not wringing our hands. Now, you may be faced with a situation that looks like, you know, I don't know. I've been in a few. I don't know about you, but I've been in a few. And I literally did not know. I thought I was done. I thought, that's it for me. And I remember there just sitting. I got quiet. And I remember the Lord one time. It just rose right up in here. I didn't know what to do. It looked impossible. And I remember it rose right up out of my spirit. He said, if you bring the tithe into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, he said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can hardly contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I'm telling you, I jumped up out of my seat and started shouting right in my office here. I was like, glory! I'm a tither. And so he said he would rebuke the devourer for my sake. That was the wisdom I needed to have. And every time that circumstance and situation would buffet my mind, I'd say, ha, ha, ha. Oh, yeah, I did. I laughed. I said, ha, ha, ha. You're rebuked. You're a liar. And I'm coming out through this and up and over and on top. And I did. But you've got to have the wisdom of God, because what happens? The wisdom of God is the revelation. It's supernatural insight on how to handle something. See, let's say it another way. Men have education. God has wisdom. So I might have education and I might have some knowledge on how to handle something, but I need God's wisdom. I need supernatural insight from heaven on how to approach it. Now, he may use the knowledge I have, but he's going to give me wisdom from heaven so I can walk through it and come out on top. Glory to God. Isn't that the truth? I'm telling you, that's the truth. And every one of us have faced things that we absolutely did not know what to do. Let us not yield to the pressure. And this says here, the waves that are what? The wind that's doing what? What is it saying? Tossing. It says the wave of the sea driven. Let's not be driven. God leads with peace. Circumstances do what? Drive us to make choices and decisions. If you feel driven, then you need to just sit back and say, Lord, I'm feeling a little driven here to make a choice, and you love me, and I believe right now to receive the wisdom to know how to walk through this. I need your heavenly wisdom. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Say no wavering. I'm not going to waver. When I feel like I'm being pressured, when I feel like I'm being driven, I'm going to approach God and ask for wisdom in faith, no wavering. And I believe that I receive it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No wavering. Because God loves us. He wants us. What does it say? I believe it's in, what is it, 3 John? Let me just take a look here. Look at that scripture. Is it 3 John chapter 1? Is that the scripture I wish above all things? 3 John 1:2 says what? I wish above all things. Well, who inspired John to write that? The Holy Ghost. I wish above all things that you what? Prosper and be in health. So how can I approach God in faith and contend or waver when he's written that I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health? Oh, no. You say, no. That's not for me. I resist that. It may not look like you'll ever come out of the hole, but you need to ask God for the wisdom that you need to prosper and be in health and not be driven by the circumstances of the world. Jesus, we'll say this, Jesus was our prototype. He operated and showed us how we should operate here in this earth. Yes, he was God, but he operated as a man anointed by God. Think about this also in the scripture. We're over there in James. Let's go back and look at this. The James is so wonderful. But then when it talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and he but look at verse 17. You could stay in the same chapter and just run down. You can see the same context of what is going on here. It says, but every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights with what? With whom is no variableness or what? Shadow of turning. He doesn't change. And every good gift, would wisdom be a good gift? Yeah. Would healing be a good gift? Yeah. Would prosperity be a good gift? Yes. So every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven And we need to do what? We need to approach him in faith, nothing wavering. And I believe without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is my wisdom. He is my healer. He is my prosperity. And he rewards me with it when I approach him in faith, and I believe to receive it when I approach him. How do I approach him? In prayer and faith, believing that he wants to. He desires to. Glory to God. You know, I looked at something that Rick Renner wrote from his book, Sparkling Gems. Very insightful. But this word ask, when he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And you know what's interesting? Let's look at verse 5 of James. Just going to make this point here. James chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Here's an interesting thing. You can do it in your Bible or however. Just bracket off this phrase, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Just bracket that. Because this phrase is talking about God. Just that. See? He's not talking about us here. He's saying, if any of you lack wisdom, ask, let him ask of God. Now he starts talking about God's nature, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he doesn't chide us or revile us. And then it says, and it shall be given him. So you really could read this scripture here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. Because, why? When we read that, that phrase, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, is talking about God. It's not talking about us, how we should approach. It says here, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. Glory to God. Oh, that's so good. So this word ask, this is what Rick Renner wrote in his book, Sparkling Gems. He said, the word desire or ask used in other scripture passages is the same Greek word, aiteo. This word means to be adamant in requesting or demanding assistance to meet tangible needs such as food, shelter, money, wisdom, health and healing, and so forth. This person may insist or demand a certain need be met, but he approaches his superior, we're talking about approaching God, his superior with respect and honor, and he makes his very strong request. How is that? In faith, knowing that God wants me to have it. He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Glory to God. You know, let me just close with this comment. Sometimes people contend. Here's a reason people contend. It's a real reason. People have been prayed for. You know, let's say there's a call for healing. And you say, God desires for you to be healed. You don't need to leave this place sick or with any symptom in your body today. And whether there's a healing anointing or whether it's just, let's join an agreement and believe and speak healing. Doesn't matter either way. But you don't need to leave sick or with a symptom today. You can receive right now. And you know where people contend? Here's where they contend. Well, I had somebody lay hands on me, or people lay hands on me 4 or 5 times, and nothing happened. So what's different now? What's going to change now? You're contending and you're wavering. You're disputing. You're taking your own circumstance and you're saying, well, it didn't change here, didn't change here, didn't change here, didn't change here. So what's different? I'll tell you what's different. Your faith and your position, you're positioning yourself not to receive. And how are we to receive? We need to receive believing, coming to Him in faith. And believe that what? I receive. When? Right now. Right now. And it says after that, what? Be believing that you what? You've received, regardless of what you see, because faith does what? Faith expects something that they don't see. And that's what trips people up. And then they begin to waver or contend with something that's being offered. God's offering healing today. And people contend with it or waver because they experience something and say, well, I didn't get nothing here, didn't get nothing here, didn't get nothing here. And they're contending. And what happens? The circumstance, the sickness continues to drive them and buffet them. And you need to say, no, 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 no. I believe that I received from God when I came right now. And I've got it. And it's now working in my body. And I'm not wavering. So even though those symptoms may buffet, no, no, you can't stay here because the healing power of God is working in me right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if anybody's here today, watching online or here, that you've got any symptom in your body, you can receive that regardless of what you experienced before. I believe that there's enough revelation that's gone forth. There's enough faith in this room that you can take it right now and receive it and walk in it whole and healed. I'm telling you, I believe it. I believe there's some that may have been contending with some things. Well, just say, you know what, God, I didn't see it. I believe I receive it today. Today is my day to walk and receive in healing, in wisdom for what I need. I believe I receive it, and I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to contend with something because symptoms came and I didn't see a change. Oh, no, no. You've got to keep, what do we say in previous lessons? We've got to keep the switch of faith turned on. What does that mean? It means that when I approach God, I believe that I received the healing power of God. And what does it mean? Also say, it says, believing that it's working in me. The healing power is working. That's keeping the switch of faith turned on. Believing I received it could be wisdom. I believe I received it. And it's working. Wisdom is working in me. Where is wisdom? Where is healing? It's in me. It's in me. It's in me. It's inside me. And I need to draw it out by what? By faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're not going to walk in lack. We're not going to walk weak and sickly. No, we are going to walk in prosperity and health. And if I lack wisdom in that area, I'm going to ask God, what do I need to do to walk in financial freedom? You may own a business. I mean, it don't matter. I need wisdom to go to and prosper with my business. You know, you have education, But I'll guarantee you, the business will flourish and prosper if you operate more in the wisdom of God and not your own strength. Get quiet. You know, I don't mean to elongate this, but look up online sometime on Letourneau. They have a Letourneau University, but that man back in the early 1900s, or it was later, 1930s and 40s, this man has over 300 patents. I don't think he had a degree. He just, you know, read about it. Letourneau. I'm telling you, I mean, he got his wisdom from heaven. And some of the greatest things that have been accomplished in this earth were not through education, but through the wisdom of God. That's why we need to pray for those who are in authority, that wisdom would operate in and through them. Those that are developing a vaccine, that for these things that plague the earth, it's not just us who believe God for healing. What about the people that don't? They're going to need that vaccine. So we need to pray for their wisdom, that that gets developed quickly in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let's reach out to God. If you're here today and you are here or online and you believe to receive today wisdom for healing, wisdom for finances, wisdom for your marriage, wisdom for your business. Don't waver. Don't contend with God. Come and receive. Father, we believe to receive right now in the name of Jesus the healing for our bodies. We receive it by faith. Those that are watching or those that are here, if you got some symptom, put your hand on it, lay your hand on it and believe and say, Father, I believe to receive my healing in my body. I believe to receive wisdom to operate in healing and health and financial success or financial prosperity. I believe to receive it. I believe to receive wisdom for a successful marriage, how to raise my children, my grandchildren. I believe to receive that now, and I ask in faith, nothing wavering in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know I went over, but I believe we needed to do this. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you haven't accepted him as your Savior, or you're watching online, I ask that you say this simple prayer. Father God, because we believe and we confess. We believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth. So Father God, we believe in our hearts that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Savior, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and I also believe and confess that you raised him from the dead. He took my sins, and I believe that when sin was paid for, you raised him from the dead. And I thank you that you've cleansed me with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me, and I receive by faith, salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. If you said that simple prayer and you don't remember doing that, contact us, let us know. If you're here today in service, let me know. And we'll give you something free. It'll tell you what you've become or who you've become in Christ.